This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Right now, somebody I did miss, Tanya Andrews, who joins us every Monday. Tanya, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Welcome back, Brian. It sounds like you had a wonderful time.
You know, it was mentally healthy.
Yeah. You know, nature can have such a positive effect on our mental health. It's been the saving grace this year for me, my walks out at Rock Springs. So I can only imagine the beauty of Utah.
Yeah. There is scientific data to exactly what you just said, that, you know, your mental health, being out in nature, walking, all that stuff does you wonders. And it was something I think we're going to be doing, you know, and we're situated to do right here. You mentioned Rock Springs. We've got all kinds of great places here to get outside and be safe and socially distance and still recreate.
You're absolutely correct, and I think if there's lots of good things that we can point to from this year, and that would be one of them, a reminder of the simple things that we always have had available to us that now we recognize the value of. So it's been wonderful.
All right, a couple of things I want to get to. If people, you know, now that we're 6 months into this and some of these protections that were put in place are starting to expire, people who have been out of work for a long time, but maybe they had some help. You know, we're getting to some areas, particularly as fall is approaching here, where some people are going to start slipping through the cracks even more than they have. Crossing is there for people. If people don't have health insurance, or they've lost their health insurance, or they're concerned about their health care, you guys are just rock solid, sitting right there available for everyone.
You're absolutely correct, Brian. And, you know, the benefit to this campus is that we're able to provide really all of your basic health care needs from, you know, birth all the way through age 100. We can take care of you. We can, you know, help you with your prescriptions. There's lab, there's radiology, there's therapists, there's specialists here on campus. And so if you've got a health need and you've lost your insurance or you're out of work, don't let that go unaddressed, because that always makes things worse. And so come give us a call at 877-9117. Come in and be seen by a healthcare provider. Regardless of your ability to pay, we make sure that you get the care that you need.
All right. Testing is still underway. Yep. There's some confusion now about the positivity. Ready to talk to the mayor a little earlier. Are we at 7%? Are we under 7%? We're approaching or at that number, because 8 is what we're all watching, because that means you could go on the warning list.
Correct. And so there is confusion, but at the end of the day, IDPH makes the determination of our positivity rate and whether we go on the warning list based on their data. So we really need to pay attention to their website and their data, because that's where the decision point gets made. And so they update that every week. You can see a change in that. They're updating that database every several days, but every week they make a decision about who goes on the warning list. And right now that rate is listed on IDPH's website for us at 7.2%. That is a rolling average. And so if you look at all of the confusing thing for people is you look at sort of the total number of tests that have been performed and the total number of positives, and you calculate a percentage. Well, that's not the same as what's happened in the last 2 weeks. And Brian, you and I both know that timely information is what's so important as you think about the spread of a virus. And so I think that's part of the confusion. If you just do the basic math on the total number of positives we've had and the total number of tests we've taken, it's only 3.4%, I believe, the last time I calculated it. So it's very low. So people look at that, which is also data available on the website, and they get kind of confused. And so what they need to understand is it's the rolling average. It's that rolling two-week average that 7.2% represents, and that is where decisions will be made whether or not we get placed on warning status. And so, you know, good news is as we are watching the last few days of test results come back, we're hopeful that things are going to head back in the right direction.
All right.
Macon County.
Let's talk about that, because as you said, if you just sort of look at the overall number of positives versus the number of tests, and that's over 6 months, it's hard to get a glance into the window of right now, which is what that 2 week rolling average is. But it also is a little scary, I think, in that people think that, oh, well, if you just have more tests, you're going to have more positives, so therefore we shouldn't be testing. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that's a wrong thought process. The bottom line is this is public health, and the way you control infectious disease is you identify it and isolate it. And so if you don't identify it, then there's no way to isolate it or manage it. So then, you know, it's can you manage the situation with more information, more data, and more facts? Absolutely. So the more we know, the more we know when people are positive, the more we can be proactive. If you don't test and you don't know, you spread. And so I think that is just you know, the basic science of managing, you know, infection and infectious disease and communicable disease. It's public health, kind of public health 101. And unfortunately, you know, it's a lot easier, I guess, to bury our head in the sand. And that would be the approach of non-testing. That would just be, you know, the same as burying your head in the sand and hoping that it just goes away. And as much as that sometimes seems like something we may want to do because this gets overwhelming for some of us, I think at the end of the day, knowing the facts, getting the data, and then addressing it from a scientific standpoint is always the best answer.
All right. And then one other question, too, and I'm not asking you to have judgment about the health department, but why is it that we don't know if there's a certain number of positives attached to sort of larger events? I mean, how is it that in other states we know that up in Maine or I believe it was Maine, you know, like 7 people, you know, have passed away now, all related to one wedding reception?
I mean, wedding, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that each state, and this is actually not something that Brandy has control about at the local level, each state is making decisions on how they will disseminate data, how they de-identify it, and how they categorize it. So the state of Illinois has been very open and very clear to report outbreaks in long-term care facilities. And so that data has been made pretty available. With that said, they have not sort of categorized the data or made the data available, for example, the first responders or EMS, which you're even seeing in some states. And so that's been a state decision by our Illinois Department of Public Health, and that sort of ties the hands of local health departments. And so, you know, you and I have discussed this. It would be very helpful to know that this percentage of cases has been attributed to this situation or that event. Now, what the state has made available is a percentage breakdown of attribution to large categories like education, which would include both university level and schools, or, for example, work or bars and restaurants.
I get it.
But that doesn't help you break it down in your community.
But I think
all.
It would be easier for the contact tracing and everything, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if that information was available. Tanya, I'm out of time. I appreciate it and appreciate you so much. It's good to be back with you. Have a great day. Tanya Andrix.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.